Cherish Noble Aspirations, President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report, October 1965, pages 144-146. Jesus Christ, the personification of perfection. My dear brethren and sisters, as we come to this parting hour, I hope that the teachings and life of the Master seem to you all to be more beautiful, more necessary, and more applicable to human happiness than ever before. Never have I believed more firmly in the perfection of humanity as the final result of man's placement here on earth. With my whole soul I accept Jesus Christ as the personification of human perfection as God made manifest in the flesh, as the Savior and Redeemer of mankind. Accepting Him as my Redeemer, Savior, and Lord, I accept His gospel as the plan of salvation, as the one perfect way to human happiness and peace. There is not a principle which was taught by Him but seems to me to be applicable to the growth, development, and happiness of mankind. Every one of His teachings seems to me to touch the true philosophy of living. I accept them with all my heart and pray that all who participated in this great conference, either as listeners or speakers, may have that same desire in their hearts. Let us strive so earnestly to represent Him or to follow Him that our spirits may be eternally young. If thoughts affect the physical being, might it not be true that eternal truths will contribute to the eternal nature of the spirit within? On the night of His betrayal, the Savior said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." And how may we know of the doctrine? If any man will do His will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Effort required to gain righteousness. Wisdom comes through effort. All good things require effort. That which is worth having will cost part of your physical being, your intellectual power, and your soul power. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But you have to seek, you have to knock. On the other hand, sin thrusts itself upon you. It walks beside you, it tempts you, it entices, it allures. You do not have to put forth effort. It is like the poor, fallen woman who lies in wait to deceive. It is like the billboard advertising attracting you to drink and to smoke. It is like the message that comes into your very homes with the television and radio or the golden packet put right into your hand. Evil seeks you, and it requires effort and fortitude to combat it. But truth and wisdom are gained only by seeking, by prayer, and by effort. We cannot be true to ourselves and to our loved ones, to our associates, without feeling a determination to know more about this great truth to which testimonies have been borne here throughout this conference. The spirit within bears testimony that truth exists in this old world. "What seek ye? What seek ye?" were the first words that Christ uttered to some of His 12, or some who afterwards became members of the 12. "Master, where dwellest thou?" He didn't say over here or over there, but He said, "Come and see." And they went with Him that day and spent the rest of the afternoon in His presence. I ask the youth of the church today, whom do you seek? Would you keep that youth which is yours now? Then love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your soul. And though the body becomes decrepit and like an old house begins to tumble, your spirit will still be young as the little babe that might be in the tumbled down house, because your body, after all, is but the house in which you live. Even when your heart stops beating, your eyelids close, and you respond no more to your physical environment, that spirit, still young, will go into the presence of Him whom you have made your ideal. Then truly will it be demonstrated that the stars shall fade away, the sun himself grow dim with age, and nature sink in years, but thou shalt flourish in immortal youth, unheard amidst the war of elements, the wreck of matter, and the crash of worlds. And now this great conference draws to a close. Our anticipation, our hopes, and our prayers that it might prove to be uplifting and inspirational have been realized, and for that we are grateful to our Heavenly Father, grateful for the inspiration He has given to us and to the world. Truly, our hearts have been filled with gratitude that the Lord has magnified each one who has spoken to the end, that His words have emanated from the presence of our Father. Resolve to hold fast to good, as we leave to go to our various homes, let us make real the good feelings that have been aroused in our souls. Let us not permit to evaporate from our minds and feelings the good resolutions we have formed. Let us resolve that from now on we are going to be men of higher and more sterling character, more conscious of our own weaknesses, more kind and charitable towards others' failings. As we depart, let us be more determined to be kinder husbands, more thoughtful wives, more exemplary to our children, more determined that in our homes we are going to have just a little taste of heaven here on earth. Cherish testimony of truth. Cherish in your hearts the testimony of truth. Make it as solid and as firm and unwavering as the fixed stars in the heavens. May there come into everyone's heart and into all our homes the true spirit of Christ, our Redeemer, whose reality, whose inspiring guidance I know to be real. May a kind heaven help us to cherish worthy ideals and noble aspirations. Whatever our joys and sorrows, let us ever remember that what we ardently desire in our hearts will determine what we really are. How constantly and consistently we cherish noble aspirations in our minds and follow them will determine whether we drift as failures along life's highway or fulfill the divine purpose of our being. Be faithful to constitutional government. Finally, let us be true to our country and to our country's ideals. Nearly 3,000 years ago, an ancient prophet said that this is a land choice above all other lands, and it is. And the Constitution of the United States, as given to us by our fathers, is the real government under which individuals may exercise free agency and individual initiative. Let us oppose any subversive influence that would deprive us of our individual freedom or make this government a dictator instead of a servant to the people. God bless you, officers and leaders of the Church. May the love of the Redeemer be in each heart, and that means that love will be expressed in serving one another. God bless these brethren of the general authorities with increased health and strength to carry on their responsibilities throughout the world. I know that God lives, that His Son Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and that divine beings restored to the prophet Joseph Smith the gospel of Jesus Christ as he established it in the meridian of time. I bear you this testimony as we part this afternoon and pray the blessings of the Lord to be upon each and every one of you, that the influence of the priesthood quorums, of auxiliaries, and of the missionaries may be more effective from this time forward than ever before in leading the honest in heart of the whole world to turn their hearts to the worship of God and give them power to control the animal nature and live in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.